Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, Swagoo and Perk. A new show led by its namesake host, NFL veteran and analyst Marcus Spears, Swagoo, and NBA champion and analyst Kendrick Perkins, with new episodes every Tuesday morning. Spears and Perkins will bring listeners the latest NBA and NFL news, as well as a look inside their lives, career journey, with can't-miss conversations, and welcome in top sports and celebrity guests. That's Swagoo and Perk. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Also, hockey has returned to ESPN. The NHL has started back up, and that means you can stream your team's games on ESPN Plus, from the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning to the brand new Seattle Kraken. Subscribe to ESPN Plus so you don't miss a goal. Be sure to follow In the Crease, the ESPN NHL podcast with Linda Cohn and Emily Kaplan. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is Foxworth Friday. Dominique Foxworth, what's going on?
Oh, we got some good stuff today.
Dude, we have so much. The Aaron Rodgers thing has...
Oh, that's where we're starting? Oh,
yeah. Let's start there, because it's cracking like as we speak. And yeah. I was on the tweets on Thursday making some points, and I think I just kind of blew some minds. They couldn't figure out who exactly to be mad at, because when these things happen, everybody's got to figure out who in the world to be mad at. So Aaron Rodgers has COVID. It has been found out that Aaron Rodgers is not vaccinated. It seems that people thought Aaron Rodgers was vaccinated because they did this press conference earlier this year and asked him if he was vaccinated. His response was, yeah, I'm immunized. And people rolled with it. Like, they let it go. That wasn't the question. The question was, are you vaccinated? And he said, nah, yeah, I've been immunized. And look, that was obviously a lie. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers was lying. I am saying, though, that collectively as media, we got in a way that we can't blame on Aaron Rodgers. Like, am I tripping here?
I think you kind of tripping a little bit. Like, some level of, like, honesty that you feel like you need to expect from people, especially public people, some level of directness. Like, when they're asking you if you're vaccinated, following it with an affirmative, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we should have known better.
I'm saying this. How about this response? That's not what I asked you.
Yeah.
Because he answered with something that he was not asked. And I put this as number two. I was told over a month ago that he was not vaccinated. In mm-hmm. fact, we played the music over it once. Gabe could verify that I had told him, and the way that it all got reported out, that he had gone to some homeopathic person to give him something, and he tried some technique, and he tried to present some lab results and all of this to prove that it was. I was up on this over a month ago, but I was not in a position to report it, right? Like, I didn't have, like, I'm not that guy. I didn't have all of that. But all I'm saying is, if somebody told me, there's no way in the world that nobody else had any idea that this had taken place. Like, again,
that's fair.
I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers did not lie about this, but I am saying the people who are trained to see through lies, he ain't run a fast one on us either, right? He walked that jack across the table. He's like, I'm going to play this jack. And then next thing you know, he was scooping up the book.
That's fair. I mean, we know that in sports media, in particular, I guess a lot of different media, there is important to have good relationships with the people that you're covering, or to have some sort of relationship. Reporters are willing to burn those relationships for a story that they believe is worth it. If you're a local reporter for the Packers and you got to talk to Aaron Rodgers every day, this ain't the one. That ain't the one. So you're like, are you vaccinated? He says something that sounds good. Because to me, I didn't have the insight that you had. And if I was maybe a beat reporter there, I might have had that insight and it might have made me push more. But to me, it's like somebody asked me, did you eat? Yes, I consumed, which could have mean I had some water, but that don't mean that I ate. And that, to me, it feels like really like deceptive. Or if I say to my kids, did you clean your plate? Yes. They threw it in the trash, but they didn't eat it. They know what I meant.
Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong. It was deceptive. Right. No disputing the fact that it was deceptive. But we bear some culpability in this case for being deceived.
Okay, that's fair. But if you're saying that people don't know who to be mad at, it's not hard for me. I guess I could be judgmental of the reporters also. but you're mad at the person who was willingly deceptive. It's simple for
me. But see, for me, that is where it gets to be less simple, right? Okay. Because yes, Aaron Rodgers was willingly deceitful. Mm-hmm. However, complicit in the deception were the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, the people that I believe deserve the most scorn for what has taken place here are the Packers. Because what they did after that was they allowed him to present as though he was vaccinated. Like, I don't think for a second that the Packers did not realize the problem that would come from having this unvaccinated person in the building with no mask on, because we have seen with our own eyes that he has done this. Maybe, and I don't know this part, maybe when he's not doing press conferences, he's walking around with the mask on, right? Mm-hmm. But they allowed him, and in fact, it's fair to question whether or not they encouraged him to present as a person who was vaccinated, right?
That's
and
fair.
So when I look at the NFL and what you do after this, because they say the teams are the ones who are responsible for enforcing the protocols, there's no real punishment that you can give the Packers that really matters. Even if you think about one of these $1 million fines that don't matter to billionaires, they ain't even got a billionaire that you fine for the $1 million because they don't have an owner. Like, if they really wanted to hammer this, the truth is the only way to do it, and I don't know if the union could allow them to do this or if they could get this past the union would be the better way to put it, but it's an Aaron Rodgers 4-game suspension, man.
4 games, but if you want to penalize the organization, it's draft picks, it's something like that that you go. So I think you're right. I guess I think of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers as on the same team. They are all willingly deceptive. That's where your anger should go. And then the next step is 1B, is the reporters that whose job it is to push and understand these things. But I also like accept that asking him about whether he was vaccinated or not, like he should be. There's a reason why we should ask him that. But also playing a game without Aaron Rodgers, this is pretty much a punishment. That's you are really, really about to get an L. And for me, that's the most stupid part. Why you got this man walking around the facility? I understand you can't tie him down and shoot him up. Okay, he said, I'm not getting a shot. Fine. You don't want the smoke that comes with publicly him, your quarterback publicly saying that he didn't get a shot. That's fine. Like, I can understand all the thought process that leads somebody down this path. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but like, it's logical. It's reasonable. Mm-hmm. I don't want this smoke and it's none of y'all business. So I'm gonna lie to you. Like, I could understand. I could see myself in that situation convincing myself that I'm doing the right thing if I'm running the Packers. But where it stops, if I saw Aaron Rodgers step foot in that facility without one of those plastic masks, two face masks, a head covering, a hazmat suit, and I know he's not vaccinated, if I see him go out to dinner, I am coming with him and I'm going to send some security guards to stand around him. That's the part to me that just seems like stupid. He went to some holistic medicine, like he drank some elixir, and y'all just like, cool, our whole franchise, everything we're playing for, we get to the championship game 2 years in a row, we might get there again, we might get to the Super Bowl. We just got it out here rolling the dice because Aaron went to a shaman.
That was the word that was used, by the way, when someone told me about this in the first place.
Really?
the shaman was the word that was used when people brought up to me what was going on with Aaron Rodgers. And man, what's the difference between him and Kyrie? Because I saw some people who had jumped in my mentions like, are you going to get on him like you got on Kyrie? I'm like, oh, hold on. I was very clear on my Kyrie point, which was, if you decide you don't want to get vaccinated, I do think that's your right. And I do not necessarily judge you for that as long as you are living a diligent, disciplined life about safety. And my problem with Kyrie is that he showed up to a damn Native American reservation with no mask on. Yeah, you the pilgrims, bro.
Yeah.
You everything you rail against right now. Like, put a blanket down there for him if you want to go all the way on brand with it. That was my issue. But Aaron Rodgers, he taught the same gibberish on conspiratorial type things. He's not quite as out front with it as Kyrie is, but he does the same thing. The big difference between him and Kyrie was like, look, I'm not doing it. I'm telling you I'm not doing it. And if y'all want this money back, y'all can have this money back because I'm not going to do it. Aaron Rodgers, and I can't even say he tried to scam the Packers. Clearly he did not. He tried to scam everybody else. But if it was this serious to you, hey, man, ride along with it and wear the mark of the person who is not vaccinated. I don't, again, I don't think there should be a mark on those people if they live it right. but you got to go ahead and do that. Instead, he and the Packers decided it was more important to present as though he was vaccinated, even though they knew that he was not, endangering the people who were around that team. But I don't see nearly as many people calling Aaron Rodgers an idiot, calling Aaron Rodgers a moron. And this taps into something you and I talked about with Kyrie. There were places in talking about him that we were not going to go.
Yeah.
Because it didn't feel right. It didn't feel right coming from these other folks, and we didn't want to be lumped in with those people. And it's all really been proven to be true in the way that people are handling Aaron Rodgers. They mad at him for lying, but I don't see the broad ridicule for him.
So it's interesting because the reason why you wouldn't ridicule Aaron Rodgers, I guess, is also the reason kind of why I respect Kyrie a little bit more, because Kyrie got principles. Kyrie got principles. They are garbage, but they are principles, and I can respect your garbage principles. He stood up and said, look at me. This is what I'm doing, and I will pay the price for my consequences. I can respect that. And so some people would be upset at Kyrie because they say, man, the word platform, I'm tired of hearing that. But generally, they're like, you're using your platform to perpetuate this virus. That's a fair criticism, and that's a fair reason and a reasonable distinction between him and Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is not out here telling other people not to get vaccinated, is not out here claiming that he is, I can't even articulate what Kyrie claimed. It was a long IG story post that didn't make a bunch of sense, but was essentially trying to give people a pass to do this. So like, I can understand that distinction, but it's funny because that's the only reasonable distinction that's out there. But it's also the only reason why I respect Kyrie's position more. It's like, I can respect that. When you have, you make a decision and you are willing to pay the consequences, like, the heroes in all of our past, in the past of this country and the past of many cultures, that's what we point to. And somebody was like, yeah, I'm going to pay this price. I'm not going to Vietnam. I'm going to pay this price. I respect it.
Look, man, Kirk Cousins stood on his. You know what I mean? Like, Kirk Cousins was like, put me in plexiglass.
Say it with your chest.
Yeah, I'm not doing this. He's like, hey, I get where you guys are coming from, and I'm going to do everything I can, but I'm not going about it in this way. Aaron Rodgers had that option, and nobody's really tripping on Kirk Cousins, and he's Kirk Cousins. Like, he could have gotten by on that. Carson Wentz, I believe, is another person who came out with it and was like, nah, I'm not going to do this, but you got to stand on that. Instead, Aaron Rodgers, for whatever reason, decided that he was going to lie to people about this.
I guess it's not fair for us to start guessing, but there's some quarterbacks out there that's nervous right now. There's somebody who's nervous.
It's some dudes somewhere that are nervous about this. Nervous about this. Look, man, what was his name? Evander Kane, the hockey player. He got busted for turning in the fake card. And you think he the only person that turned in a fake card? Because I don't think he the only person that turned in a fake card. And to take it a step further, the NHL, it kind of reminds me of the Edmonton Oilers cocaine scandal of the 1980s, where the only person to go to jail was the black dude. Like, so you gonna tell me out of everybody in this league, in the NHL, okay? Like, if I was supposed to do a demographic look, who I think does or doesn't have anti-vaccination views, you telling me in the NHL that there ain't nobody else that showed up in there with no fake card?
I shouldn't laugh because it's not funny, but it's also funny because what you're actually saying, which makes perfect sense, is like, they needed a fall guy. Or they needed somebody to make an example of. You know who we gonna do? Because you're right. Like, it's, the numbers would suggest that there was somebody else, but maybe he just got a worse card is what they want to, like, the other fake cards trick people, but he got a card that couldn't fool nobody.
Nah, his problem was his wife came out there on the internet and put all his stuff in the street. And so they were going through all varying levels of allegation. Remember, that's the one where his wife said that he had lost all his money gambling and that he was gambling on his own games and all of this stuff. And so, but that's where it is. But again, you ain't gonna tell me that's the one man in all of sports that's with that. And the other thing that you have to keep in mind is the people who are in charge of enforcing these measures. We don't know the beliefs of those people.
Right.
And it's a whole lot of people riding for that anti-vax cause that I'm sure, you got a card? All right, cool. Yeah. And then just threw that thing over the shoulder.
So Evander Kane was already down. So they was like, man, you just throw another one on there. Let's get this out of the way.
And by the way, and they think probably when they did that, they're like, yeah, it's going to have everybody else in the league shook, except everybody in the league looked up and they know the difference between them and Evander Kane. They're like, what this got to do with me?
Yeah, we don't live by the same rules. This is one of the recurring themes that I feel like we haven't touched on in a while, is just general lack of faith in institutions. But it feels like there are some institutions that people have faith in, or maybe the results they have faith in, because to me, I think people are surprised by this Aaron Rodgers news, because they believe that these institutions are going through all the measures that they're supposed to, and they are not self-interested. But you only got to go back a couple weeks to look at that Washington football team scandal to realize, like, these are dudes that are all on the same team and pretending to be adversaries, and you guys think that they're not looking out for each other. So, like,
right,
I'm not shocked by any of this, sadly. I wish I was, but I am not.
I think the other interesting factor to consider in how this all played out with Rodgers is what role the offseason acrimony played in this. If Aaron Rodgers says, I ain't coming back if I got to get this vaccine and I got to walk around in a mask. And they're like, look, we'll work that part out. We'll get to the bottom of that. You know, like, I'm curious as to whether that had anything like ultimately to do with this. Ain't nothing like, that's not what I asked you.
Yeah.
That to me is the tell that maybe that person ain't lying, but that person trying not to tell you something. Like, oh, back up, buddy. I ain't asked you that.
But to your point, I mean, whoever's asking those questions don't want the answer. They're like, that's not what they want to use their investigative resources or spend whatever cachet of goodwill that they have with Aaron Rodgers by pressing him on this question. All right, you said something close enough to the right answer. We're going to give you full credit and move right along. But the shocking thing to me, I guess not shocking, is when you think of the breadth of Aaron Rodgers' career and his like political stances. Like, I always remember Aaron Rodgers like speaking out about issues that seem to be more progressive. Like, and then the Packers fans got mad because he told everybody to hold hands during the national anthem. And since then, now he's anti-vax and also decrying the cancel culture that does not exist. So Aaron Rodgers has made a hard right turn, and it's a little surprising. Yeah.
Sounds like podcast to me. sounds like Aaron Rodgers has started to get into the podcast space as a listener and finally stumbled across some things that he wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Like this. And so Jordan Love, by the way, that's the other part of this. I guess we go find out if he can play or not. I know he's not shook. My booty would be like a drum if I was. And I just found out like on Wednesday that I got to come out here and do this.
I mean, Wednesday is better than what happened to Justin Herbert when he got his first start. The morning of the game, they decided to stab Tyrod, and he was like, all right, give me the ball. Let's see what we got. So at least he got a week to prepare. Are the receivers back yet?
That's a very good question.
I mean, because they had their whole receiving core was out. So you see what's happening in your facility, and he's still walking around without a mask? I don't know. I saw something, a post Mina shared something with me. They was calling this man Throw Rogan on the internet. That had me cracking up.
Dog, the thing with the receivers is interesting, but here's the other part. I was watching First Take on Wednesday, and when the news first dropped, and they asked Stephen A, you know, how big a deal this is, and he was like, nah, not that big a deal, right? He's going to miss a game. He's going to come back, you know, so forth and so on. And then they had Rob Domofsky, who covers the Packers for ESPN, on, and he dropped the bomb that Rodgers wasn't vaccinated. And Stephen A. was like, oh, my bad. Oh, this is a thing. We can't just assume that Aaron Rodgers is going to come back out here looking great after he sits his time and passes his test. Like, apparently Lamar Jackson, bulletproof, he done caught it twice, and I don't really see no difference. Cam Newton caught it once and never looked the same after he had it. We can't assume that Aaron Rodgers is just going to come out here and look like the Aaron Rodgers that we have seen previously in the course of this season. I think there are a lot of levels to how this goes and where it goes, but I think somebody really does have to go to the Packers, Mark Murphy, and all of those guys and be like, y'all are the ones who really played us. Because Rodgers told us that little lie. But if he had been coming up to pressers with a mask on or whatever, we'd have known what time it was. We could have gone from there. The Packers are the ones that allowed him, by the definition of the protocols, they allowed him to perpetuate what was in effect a fraud.
But who wants to make them pay the price for this? Like, who? They only answer to the NFL. Like, that's all they answer to. And which means,
I tell you who wants to make them pay the price for this: the Vikings, the Lions, the Bears.
Yeah.
And then the top ranking teams in the NFC, the other people that are in their conference, they would love nothing more to see the hammer come down on the Packers.
The owners of those teams are going to have to lobby behind the scenes to make this happen. You would think that them lobbying to make this happen means that they ain't doing nothing fishy in their facilities, which...
Well, that's what I was about to say. Let me tell you who I'm sure has given some thought to this. Jerry Jones. This looks like his chance. I don't know if you remember when he gave this quote, but I'm going to put it out here. This is his chance for some glory hole.
Yep, I remember that.
That's the greatest quote of all time. I want me some glory hole. Wow. Jerry Jones took it to Stucky's. I was not expecting him to say that, but this is chance. That team, this is their opportunity. If I'm him, yo, it's time to put this hammer down on Aaron Rodgers.
Go ahead and take one of the competitors out that you have to go up against. And I'm guessing that Jerry, I would guess he ain't playing no games down there in Dallas as far as vaccinations are concerned. My guess is that he got that organization pretty well vaccinated, and I think that he would be comfortable if they came through there and checked what was going on.
He better, by the way. He had them boys' toes on the line. Remember
he did,
that?
Exactly.
Like he was adamant about that toes on the line. Jerry said this, though. Jerry was like, look, this ain't about y'all.
Yeah, it's about us.
All them college football coaches, we got a couple of them that's decided they're going to be out here also wacko. But the rest of them was like, hey, boys, what's a shot? Lied to them, telling them, hey, they got this new Toradol where you get it in advance and you ain't going to hurt all year long. It's experimental, though, so it might not work.
Yeah, we got to give you a second one, though, too. In 2 weeks, we're going to give you the second one, the second half of this Toradol, this pain pill.
Yo, one of the funniest things about when they try to get people to get vaccinated who don't want it is they stay giving them the Johnson & Johnson, the 50-50.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're like, cool, now you only got to get it one time. There we go. They stay running that hustle. And I'm like, no, those are the people we need to give the three shots because you know they're not going to be living right.
Yeah, they absolutely not. And those are the first people who can't wait to get it after they got vaccinated and come out and say, I still got it. Like, well, no one said it would keep you from getting it. Just said that it'll make it less chance and it'll make it less severe. But they can't wait to get on the interwebs and try to discourage people. It's just it's discouraging in general, the whole state of where we are right now. I was reading about global warming yesterday, or climate change, whatever we call it these days.
Yo, that's the scary one right there.
Man.
Like, that's the one, and it's like, it's been right in front of us. People keep trying to tell us this is a thing.
I remember hearing about the ozone layer 30 years ago, and them telling me that we can't use aerosol cans. And me talking to my mom about hairspray. I remember coming home like a little dummy, like, you shouldn't use that. It's going to kill the earth. Still cooking up coal. Still doing everything that we said we needed to stop 30 years ago. Oh, well, enjoy some sports while we got them.
I watched all 11 minutes of that Odell Beckham video that somebody posted and that his daddy shared. And I think that distinction is very important because y'all dumbasses really think that Odell Beckham Sr. was sitting at the crib cutting up all 22 and putting it on the internet and slapping some REM underneath. And I got on Twitter and I said, y'all really think this 50-year-old black man from Marshall, Texas was sitting up cutting up all 22 and putting REM underneath? You already think that. You'd be amazed how many white people found it necessary to defend the virtue of the breadth of African-American cultural taste. Right, next thing I know, everybody popping up. Well, you saying black people don't listen to REM? First of all, I could say that. I am not saying that in this moment. Yeah. I am saying that full total list of things all at one time does not add up to Odell Beckham's daddy actually making that video. But he did come across that video, and I watched all 11 minutes of it, okay? Yeah. Now, I defer more to your expertise, obviously, but I watched it, and I saw some plays where I'm like, he ain't really open here. Yeah. Like, I see why you might think that, but he not really open. But I saw a bunch of plays where I was like, oh, wait a minute. That dude, if you think he's finished, you crazy. This dude is out here open, running by himself, and As my buddy Nick Wright put it, it wasn't even a matter of Baker throwing to other people all the time. Sometimes it was Baker not throwing to anybody. Like, that dude was open so much in the course of that video, but damn, I ain't think that he would lose his job behind that.
So also how you know that he didn't do this is if you think that he had the technological wherewithal to watch all the All-22s and cut it up, I also think that he would have posted it in the proper orientation. He posted that thing sideways. I had to crane my neck to appreciate the half of that video I watched. But yeah, I mean, I didn't watch the whole video and I didn't need to. Like, I've been watching this for the whole season. Like, yeah. So to be fair to Baker, you can find receivers running open and quarterbacks not throwing it. Like, you can find that in Patrick Mahomes tape. You can find in Aaron Rodgers tape. You can find people missing wide open guys. Like, I can find plenty of those from Lamar this year. The difference is, for those other guys, you can find just as many, if not more, of them hitting those guys. And that's the problem. Like, Odell played with Eli Manning. You think he not accustomed to some bad balls every now and then? Some confusing decisions? But Eli also would hit him every now and then or put it in his general vicinity. So, I mean, I think it's a fair criticism for Odell. But now, it's gotten out of hand. Wednesday, I'm on TV talking about it. And I'm, like, giving my opinion. Like, yeah, this is weird for his father to put it out there, suggest that Odell was okay with it. Then everybody else that I was on set with went a little bit too far and started flipping out about how Odell's so selfish and he's trying to destroy the team. And I'm like, let's chill out. He don't control LeBron James' tweets. He don't, like, and maybe he was okay with his father putting it out there, but he is not trying to destroy the team. Then this morning, I wake up and see that they done asked him to not come to work no more. You can keep getting paid. Don't come to work. There is something going on there, and we don't know the half of it. And we should probably be careful about what we suggest, but it seems like Odell going to end up somewhere else. Whether they're going to get a draft pick for it or not, he going.
I'm very curious about the what we don't know part, because I did think that, look, people's daddies, wives, girlfriends, mamas or whatever have been getting out and doing stuff like this all the time. And LeBron James saying Odell is a number one wide receiver. I don't think that that tweet or whatever is really that big of a deal, except I believe that Odell's a clutch client. And so that is kind of in effect. But
hashtag free Odell, too.
Yeah, but they were trying to get him traded.
Right.
And by the way, it sounds like the Browns would have loved to trade him, except he make too much money. And so they weren't going to be able to get anybody that could take him under the cap at this point. But to me, this feels like Randy Moss circa 2006. Where everybody's, oh man, he's finished, he's washed, da da da, whatever it is. And the Patriots were able to get Randy Moss at age like 29 or something like that for a fourth round pick. Mm-hmm. And all he did the next year was have 22 touchdown catches because Randy Moss, it turns out, was not washed. He was just playing for the Raiders, right? Yep. Odell Beckham is not washed. Like, mm-hmm. What interests me about Odell, and it has since the very beginning of his career, he threatens people. His very existence threatens people. Because when he was with the Giants, I remember I was talking with a guy who was on the team, and I was like, hey man, you know, what's your Odell read? And he was quick, didn't take any hesitation. I love that dude. Because mm-hmm. The thing about Odell is, he grinds, right? And he's not Antonio Brown, where people would absolve Antonio some of his other stuff because he grinded. But Odell is not the realm of selfish that Antonio Brown is, right? The self-absorption that goes on, he's not there. I'm shocked that Odell hadn't blown his stack yet, right? Like, I actually think he's come a long way from where he was, where he was kicking the net and all that stuff in New York. That's where I was like, yo, man, you need to get a grip. We ain't seen any of that from him in Cleveland. He's been out there running those wind sprints, not getting the ball, and he keep on running back. And now he stopped talking to the coach for whatever reason, but I can't imagine. Hey, man, it's really frustrating when you are better at your job than someone you work with whose your success is somewhat dependent mm-hmm. on their performance, and everybody's response to you is how you can make it easier for the guy who is not as good at his job.
Right.
That is rough, that is hard, that is tough, and Odell has dealt with that, and now we get to this point. And I'm just looking at it like everybody talk about the release of the video. I see far fewer people talking about the actual content. Because I feel like even if you were like, man, Odell, this, that, and the third, you go watch it, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I see what he's talking about.
Tuesday before the trade deadline, we're looking for something to talk about. So we start talking about trade deadline stuff. And they're like, should the Browns trade Odell Beckham? And my response is, absolutely not. This is before the release of the video and everything. It's like, this man can ball. He's open all the time. Like, from my calculation, and he's the perfect counter to what you want to do offensively. The problem is they haven't been able to make it work. So they run the ball a lot, which means you're going to have to put another safety in the box. They run the ball well. You're going to have to put another safety in the box, which forces you to get one-on-ones on the outside with a man who runs 4-3 and is quick as hell and has some iffy hands, but can make some catches here and there. Like, that's exactly what you want. I can't quite understand why it's not working, but the reason why it's not working is not Odell Beckham. Maybe it's the coach, maybe it's the quarterback, but it's not Odell Beckham. I'm watching him break people off, running these routes. You know, people cut up these routes and show guys giving people the business. Odell's still doing it. He is still doing it, but they're not throwing it to him. And it's a different offense than he was accustomed to with the Giants, but I actually thought this offense was better for him. Like, it's a big play style offense.
Look, man, he leaves people so threatened. Like, all these people who are talking to GMs, and the GMs are like, nah, he's declined, da-da-da, and all of this stuff. I'm looking at that. Like, first of all, these anonymous quotes from GMs be making me wonder how many of them actually watch stuff. Yeah. Like, I mean, again, they said the same exact thing about Randy Moss. I talked to a dude who played with Moss with the Raiders, and he said, in practice, they told Randy, run a go route on every play. That was what he was supposed to do, was run a go route on literally every play. And that when he would run the go route on every play, sometimes he would be open and Kerry Collins would not throw him the ball because Kerry Collins, who comes with his own bushel of issues, would say he wasn't sight reading. And therefore, as punishment, he would simply not throw him the ball. If I'm Kerry Collins, I'm only good at one thing. Rearing back and throwing it far. I would be treating that like Madden 99. I'm only throwing the ball to Randy Moss. And all he running is go routes. Psh, thanks.
The ego to be so huge that you are personally self-destructive is confusing to me. Because Kerry Collins, you want a new contract? Throw it up over there to 18. Like, you want to win a Super Bowl? You want to win a game? Throw it up to over there to number 18. That's all you had to do. But I guess he wanted to teach people a lesson because he the quarterback. He the man in these streets. Are you going to learn today? Okay.
Right, right. He out here on that I already got enough money program. Right. Like, that's the only thing. But other thing, I talk about the fact that Odell threatens people. There have been two players to me in recent memory who is not just that people just don't like them. It's like you talked about. It's the whole over the top, so selfish, da-da-da. And I ain't heard a teammate of Odell Beckham say that yet, right? But, you know, they go over the top on all of that stuff. It's him and Cam Newton. Those are the two that I have felt in this time period who have just really, really, really left people just always clutching their pearls about just about everything that they do. And I'm just saying, just because she like them don't mean she don't like you.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. I was trying to figure it out, and I think you might have just nailed it. Yeah.
Have you ever watched that 30 for 30 that ESPN did on the Alabama-Auburn rivalry?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a part where it was this married couple where the woman was an Auburn fan and the man was an Alabama fan. And they brought something up with Cam Newton. And man, her back straightened up in her chair and she started clapping like a seal, boy. She couldn't get enough. She had that look on her face. Gosh. And I am here to tell you, I don't remember if he called him Scam Newton in the video, but he is definitely a man who says that. That dude right there was not feeling it at all. Odell in a very similar place. Hey, man, you just got to recognize this. They like them dudes. It ain't really got nothing to do with you. What? Let it ride. I see the threat level that's within people. Is it because she is it that?
But stop it though, because there is no threat level. Y'all not playing the same game. Like, you could be jealous of Odell, but Odell and Cam Newton are like, they're doing something different than you. Trust me.
Dominic,
you ain't got to worry.
They think we a threat at everything. The people that we talk about think we threatened at everything. Not all of the thems, you know what I'm saying? I want to be clear before y'all think I'm being far too broad on this. But I'm just saying that the idea of Odell Beckham bothers people more than anything else. Like I said, I really, as someone who doesn't even necessarily like the dude per se, I don't know him, so I want to be careful about that. But like when he was doing all that stuff, like the kicking net and all of those things,
fighting Josh Norman and all that. Yeah,
yeah, I got no respect for people who can't maintain their composure. Like that's a thing for me. So he has gotten past that and it's cool. But I'm not. I ain't got no 13 jerseys, right? Like I'm not somebody. But I did recognize very early. Oh, this dude's good at everything.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's one of those guys who is good at everything. And people who ain't good at that much don't really deal well with people who are good at everything.
He is good at everything. He's, like, I think a really good soccer player, too. And just, like, the man is handsome and maybe the most talented receiver that we've seen in a long time since Randy Moss. Like, of total athleticism, he's in that conversation.
He the reason why your kids was wanting to get their haircut blonde.
Yeah, that was...
You realize how influential you gotta be to make somebody think that shit is cool?
Yeah. That's, and you know, people used to say, do people still say because of social media that the market doesn't matter anymore? I hope people don't still say that, because him doing that for the Giants made him, I think he got 15 million followers. Like, it mattered. The people still flipping out about Mike White because he got a win. I think I saw a news article that said they put his jersey in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Like, being in New York, doing anything in New York is 10 times larger than anywhere else. So if you think that you're going to go to Oklahoma City and be the same star that you would be in New York, stop it, you're wrong. But also, Odell, yeah, I think that's part of it too, is Odell was on that Steph Curry. Like, he was the man, except he didn't bring the Jesus with him that you guys wanted. He didn't bring the wife and happy family with him that you guys wanted. So you got a little mad about it and probably a little jealous, and maybe... You're right. So I don't understand how people can be jealous of Odell, because the people who are complaining about him, like, y'all not going to be in the same parties as Odell. Odell not going to take your wife. He never going to meet your wife. And if he did, he's not going to be interested. So just chill out and relax. But maybe it's what they represent. Cam Newton, too. Like, they represent the man at your high school, the man that you were scared of, the man that you was jealous of, the man that got all the good grades and was the star quarterback. Like, that's what they represent to them. And if you wasn't that, I guess I could understand how you could always hate that man.
I tell you this too, they talk about Odell Cook. Somebody had mentioned in my feed that they said that Buffalo had tried to make a play at Odell, and I'm like, let Odell go play for them. You can start planning that cold ass parade right now. Let Odell go to Baltimore and see what happens. Right? Like, let him wind up in any of these places and see what happens. But I do want to know what the dump is going to be on information when he leaves. Because you are right, and I agree with you. You just never going to be able to convince me for even a minute that all of this was worth. You can't be around the team. Like, it wasn't like he openly disrespected the coach. Mm-mm. It wasn't even like he openly disrespected the quarterback. None of those things. And they like, nah, you can't come play no more?
Yeah. There's something coming. We can't speculate, but as soon as all this stuff transpires and he's no longer in Cleveland, something's coming, and we're going to have a fire Foxworth Friday that week, digging through all of that and figuring out who got what agenda and who's saying what. Because whatever's coming, it's going to be skewed. And this is the last thing I got on this topic. Try to find some empathy with everybody. It's not that hard for me to find some empathy for Odell Beckham. Because, like, to the point that you made earlier, like, Odell Beckham became one of the most popular athletes in America, and everyone had an opinion on him. He's had several bad seasons in a row. Man, you f***ed up my legacy, my money, my reputation, everything. And Odell has been quiet for a while, and people are like, but you gotta be a team guy. Ain't nobody talking about the team. They talking about him personally. Remember when he came back and suddenly the team wasn't doing as well? It's like, oh, Odell Beckham's a problem for Baker Mayfield. Like, everyone is so easy to look at these other people and tell them how they supposed to act. And like, for a second, imagine yourself. Imagine that you go to work every day and you are awesome at your job, but for some other reason, it keeps getting messed up. And somebody else getting promotions, somebody else getting more money, somebody else getting these new opportunities, they all getting it. And you are doing a better job than them, but you can't get these same opportunities because somebody else is messing you up. And the whole time, you're being quiet about it. And people are like, nah, just keep being quiet. It's going to work itself out. No, it's not. It ain't working itself out. Your dad reposts somebody else's post, and now they say you can't come to work. Someone who we've already established has trouble maintaining his composure, but has maintained it up until now, supposed to maintain his composure. Like, you worked, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent, but this bothers me because these players work their entire lives, sacrifice so much to get this opportunity, and now they here and it's not working out because of no fault of their own, and everybody like, nah, just shut up. Like, that's an unreasonable request.
And the quarterback's pedestrian but got all the commercials. Like, I don't feel the need to be like, man, Baker Mayfield stinks, because I don't think that's true. Yeah. But he's just a guy. Yep.
I think his dad called him mediocre, right?
And by the definition of the word, he fits.
Yeah.
Like, to me, he's just a dude. And it feels like the moves that they've made here are in part to coddle that quarterback here. Because Browns fans, they want it so bad for Baker because they ain't been able to make it work with nobody else since they came back into the league. They ain't had a quarterback worth discussing since Bernie Kosar. Well, I mean, that's the old team. You know what I mean? Like, they want it really bad, and they're crossing their fingers and holding out hope. The truth is, that draft had two star to superstar level quarterbacks in it. And they took Baker Mayfield number one overall. And what I always say, though, is with your draft pick, you want to get the best player, but just be happy if you get a good one,
right?
Like, if you get a player, like Akeem Olajuwon, who obviously was a Hall of Famer, but nobody in Houston complained about not drafting Michael Jordan because you got Akeem Olajuwon. Like, having Akeem Olajuwon is pretty cool. The guy they got ain't no Josh Allen. He ain't no Lamar Jackson. He's not that guy. They took the number three quarterback with the number one overall pick, and they got to decide if they're going to pay him the money and everything else. And they just keep crossing their fingers about Mayfield. But there's literally nothing special about him as an NFL quarterback. And the Browns as a franchise are stuck. Yeah. Do we re-up on nothing special? Because nothing special is still a lot better than what we've had for the last 20 years.
Yeah. And Baker was a surprise, if I remember correctly. Sometimes I understand that you don't have a choice as a GM. When the momentum is there, like, it takes an uncommon level of guts to put your job on the line and jump to somebody else because you think that they are better. And we've seen guys get bullied into picks before. And, like, I honestly, I can understand how that happens, because after it doesn't work out, you can be like, man, that's who I was supposed to pick. So in this situation, he wasn't the front runner. Like, I remember being surprised when Baker Mayfield's name was called. And so to the idea of extending him or not extending him, I've been in favor of paying him. Because you don't have to pay him as much as you pay everybody else. And it's going to be hard, because mediocre is hard to find at quarterback in the NFL. And that's changing some. So maybe I'm wrong about the future of the quarterback position, but it's hard to find mediocre. But I anticipate, and this is just one of my pet peeves, is I was infuriated for the duration of the Dak Prescott contract conversation. Like, do you fools listen to music, or do you just skim through it? Like, I'm watching Dak, and, like, this man is good. And people are like, man, you can't pay a good quarterback, great quarterback money. Like, what? Y'all don't see what he's doing. He is great. And so make sure that same energy is there when Baker's contract comes up. Even though I'm in favor of paying Baker, I better not have people out here saying, oh, you got to pay Baker. He's a free agent. You got to pay him with the next highest deal, because that's what you always do. Nope, nope, nope. You don't have to do that. And you shouldn't do it in this case.
No. Yeah. Baker Mayfield, you roll the dice on this. You go see how this works out for you, brother.
The dangerous part is, though, in this situation, is it'll work out just fine. Baker's going to have suitors because, like we talked about, mediocre is hard to find. Your man Kirk Cousins caked up because mediocre is hard to find in this league.
Mm-hmm. And, yo, the funniest thing to me about Kirk Cousins on that is he has actually been playing pretty well the last, you know, this season, really. And then he got on the prime time and then bright lights. And it was like, oh, that's right. He's exactly who I thought he was.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed.
Yeah. He was not taking no shots down the field. Randy Gregory was giving him hell. And he got outplayed by Cooper Rush.
Yo, I got to say, just right fast before we go, Randy Gregory right now is making life so much easier for all kinds of reefer enthusiasts in the NFL. Because Jerry Jones is like, I ain't about to let no weed make me walk away from this talent.
I mean, Jerry Jones, you're going to have to make Jerry Jones walk away from talent. Like, it's a long list.
Yeah. But still, Randy Gregory, he held on so much longer than I ever would have, and it is paying off.
That's fair. Like,
that dude is a he. They brought Randy Gregory and Michael Parsons in at the same time on this defense. It is just like, oh, everything feels different now.
Anthony Brown is all of a sudden a really, really good cornerback. When last year we was like, nah, but it really helps when the quarterback is terrified.
And Trayvon Diggs, who we ain't had a good feast or famine corner in quite a while, right? Because the feasts are great, but there is the famine. And even when he was at Alabama, because he's so long and gangly. Mm-hmm. It always looked like he'd like running after a kid. Like when you try to catch a 5-year-old, you know what I'm saying? And like it always looked weird to me. I could never figure out what it was because there was a dissonance in watching him because it couldn't look smooth just because he didn't look like a corner to me. And he's just like, nah, I'm out here getting this dog. You might burn me every now and then, but I'm out here getting this.
Yeah, I mean, the feast is outweighing the famine because his contribution to that team from an analytical standpoint is up there with Aaron Donald as far as like his interception because he's getting interceptions and taking them to the crib. And like for expected points, that's 6. And that's hard to get at a cornerback. And to get that multiple times in a season, he could be terrible for the rest of the year and still have like been worth that draft pick. Second round, right?
I also love that his brother was a 5-star recruit and went to Maryland and wound up being a 5th-round pick. And Trayvon was like, nah, dog, I'm going to go to Alabama. That ain't going to happen to me down there.
That's the Mike Locksley effect, though. So, Liz,
that's right.
Locks was in Alabama. Oh, he was at Maryland when Stephon went to Maryland, and then he was down in Alabama. All of a sudden, all the good DMV talent, the top DMV talent headed down south.
Dog, Locks tricked them dudes into going to Illinois.
Oh.
That's all I got. That's all I got
man.
To say.
He had
Martez Wilson, and it was who was a 5-star recruit. And there's another. Aurelius Bid. Mm-hmm. It was a 5-star recruit. Got them all to go to the University of Illinois to play for Ron Zook.
Had these boys going to Champaign, like from D.C. to Champaign. That man is a talented recruiter. He's a good coach, too. I'm sad with how the season's going. I've actually been going to games because I like Locks. I've been to all the home games so far this year. And that Iowa one, boy, that hurt. We wore black stuff. We got blacked out. I went down there, took my family, and then we got blacked out.
Hold on. Y'all blacked out and lost to the team with the whitest defense I've seen in the last 30 years.
It was so sad. You think I wasn't crushed?
I told you. Somebody here, why are you talking about this? I'm just telling you. Iowa got more white defensive starters than there are in the entirety of the Southeastern Conference. I count.
It's incredible. That is incredible.
It's amazing.
It is an incredible feat. It is. It requires, I mean, I was going to say it requires a conscious decision, but maybe it's just Iowa. It's hard to get people to go out to Iowa. Maybe that's it. Because I don't think that's a choice.
I think they got a corner.
No, you stop it.
I think.
I'm going to have to check in on this, but we had like a real devastating injury to one of our team leaders earlier in the game, and then the blowout happened, so people were like, man, that really changed the momentum. Like, no, I was on the field watching what happened. It wasn't the momentum. It was that offensive line was the problem, and the turnovers was the problem. We had nothing for them. They just was pushing. We could play that game 10 times. We might win it once, maybe. Who thought we were going to end
maybe
up
maybe next year.
Maybe.
Yeah, I know. And that's where we end. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Dominique Fosworth. Check him out at theundefeated.com. Also, check him out on Get Up. Check him out just all over the place, man. Check him out on Debatable.
Love my Terps, man. We're going to bounce back. Locks is the right guy for the job.
Yeah. I mean, look, here's all I got to say before we go about how you know Maryland ain't no football school. They named a stadium after the dude who ran Bear Bryant off. That's all anybody needs to know. That's how you know y'all ain't.
They changed the name because he's racist.
We can put your name on anything but the football stadium. You ran.
People
Bear
don't
Bryant
know.
Off.
We used to have Bear.
One year, and that man ran him off. But ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this 3 times a week. Gabe Bassain and Dave Presley handling things behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.